Thanks for staying with us. Let's continue now a look at some of the water issues, and we speak to Gift of the Givers founder Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman and AHL Water Director Aisha Laher, who join us both now. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Dr. Suleiman, I'm going to begin with you. You now were assisting in the area as Gift of the Givers at Freda Fort. Give us a sense of how the situation is on the ground.
Good evening, Bongiwe. We got there yesterday. It was sad from the time we got there yesterday afternoon. When we got the message, we were told that, you know, there's a crisis of cholera there. It was picked up earlier, but there were no deaths. Yesterday, we were told that there were 3 deaths. So when we went there, we went to the family that were affected. And all 3 deaths were from the same family. The grandmother, the mother, and the aunt. And when my teams went into the house, you know, it was a very poor situation. And there was a teenage girl and young siblings. They were the only members of the family left. They were traumatized, you know, they were affected. They didn't have enough material supplies. And they said clearly that all the 3 family members had diarrhea, they had cramps, they went to the hospital, and they died. It's just the same message for all 3. Mm. And from people in the area started talking and said, look, there is a water crisis here. We do need water. But it was late last night, so we couldn't do much by the time we finished off in that house. But today, wherever they went, you know, but to the credit of the municipality and the local councillors, they arranged one place for everybody to come. And everybody wanted water, which tells me there's a serious problem in the area.
And a serious one. Are they getting any help at all, those 2 siblings?
Well, we're going to look into that. You know, they're going to need support. It's similar to what happened in Hammanskraal. 23 families lost family members. We support those families for funeral and additional supplies for them. These kids definitely are going to need support, and you know, we'll come back to support them. Because when we went in initially, it was just water and hygiene items, and of course, rehydration solution for the people itself. We're not sure what to expect until we get there ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the problem is we caught with multiple water interventions. It's not only Freda Fort. We're in Hammanskraal, we're in Makanda, where there's an E. coli problem. Every day we're delivering water to Fort Beaufort, Adelaide, and other areas around because there is just not enough water. So our water tankers have been working since 2020. And now we've got an initial crisis of more water challenges, but this time it's infected water. It's just not no water. It's infected water, which is making the situation more complex.
Yeah.
And in different areas.
Especially, and I'm going to come back to that in just a moment, because, I mean, you listen to the Department of Water and Sanitation, for example, saying that there's been a decline in the country's water quality. And this, of course, is in the latest report. And Aisha, I wonder then, in the face of this, you know, the contaminated water, as we are seeing in some of the municipalities, as well as this cholera outbreak, what needs to be done to make sure that the situation is brought under control now?
Hello, Bongiwe, and to the listeners as well. Thanks for this opportunity to respond. I think the most important thing is that the reports have been published by the Minister, by the Department of Water and Sanitation. They're very comprehensive reports. If you look at the Blue Drop Watch report, it clearly says the treatment plants that were assessed where the water quality is not good. What is needed is urgent interventions in those municipalities to ensure safe water is delivered. So what can we do? People need to understand where that is. The department needs to react immediately to go out and issue boil water notices in those municipalities where the water is at high risk. I think it's important that people understand when the boil water notice is issued that they do not consume the tap water, because it does present a serious health risk. It may not be cholera, but E. coli is equally a health risk as well. So the boil water notices must be issued where the water quality is not safe.
So listening to you then, Aisha, and what the department had to say, that, you know, in some of these municipalities, you're looking at a failure because there's instability and they're not then testing the water as often as they should. So the Department of Water and Sanitation should not be waiting to be invited. It should actually be going into these municipalities just to get a sense of the situation and to assist.
Remember, the watch report already reports on certain systems that were assessed, but the monthly results, the result that the department gets already tells them what the quality of the water is. If it is a failure, it is a failure. So we already know where the failures are. If there is no monitoring, then the potential for contamination is there because there is no monitoring to verify the safety. So the department already knows exactly which supply system does not have monitoring information, or where the monitoring information shows that the water is not safe. So it's not that you have to go and investigate which one it is. We already know which ones they are.
Mm.
I think that boil water notices are critical, because now we're not only talking about E. coli, we're talking about potential for cholera as well, that can enter the supply system because there's insufficient disinfection. So I think we need to have a sense of urgency in issuing these water notices and advisories to communities.
Dr. Silliman, you are on the ground. Your team is there working, as you've said, in various areas across the country. Are these boiled water notices out there?
No, we haven't seen any boiled water notices, because we're providing the water. So nobody's boiling water because we're providing the water. We're providing water tankers. We have brought in additional water tankers. And, you know, our teams work Monday to Sunday. So up till now, and of course, with load shedding, it's not going to be easy to keep boiling water. It's a challenge. You know, of course, you can boil the water early and let it cool and then drink it a little later. That's practical, yes. But because we're providing the water tankers, and of course, we've drilled boreholes. In the last 3 years, we've drilled 540 boreholes in many parts of the country. We do have challenges in some of the boreholes where the water quality, where there is some E. coli or there's chemical metals, which we have to then remove from the water. And that's a very expensive business. Some of those plants have cost us R1 million each to purify the water. And some are R300,000, some are R50,000. Mm-hmm. So you have an additional challenge of, besides maintaining the borehole, you've got to put in filtration plants and maintain that. But up to now, look, we've been doing well. There are many areas that require borehole. In addition to what Aisha said, I would say, while putting up a boiling water notice, we may have to drill more boreholes in more areas to make it more accessible quickly to people. We've seen the success of the boreholes. We've seen how they work, 21 in one area, 12 in another area, 45 in another area. And it's not solving the problem, but it's easing the situation of the people to a large extent.
Aisha, there's something that, just 2 days ago, we were talking to some viewers who were giving us a sense of the water quality in their towns and how things are looking there. A number of them are saying that their water appears to be brown and they don't know. It looks like it's got sand, but they don't know what's going on. Are you able to tell them, if they're watching, what's happening there?
Look, Bongiwe, it's very difficult to look at water and decide what the quality is. Water can have sand in it and still be free of pathogens. Water can be absolutely clear and have pathogens. So you cannot evaluate the safety of your water just by looking at it. If it smells funny, I would be suspicious of that. But you cannot smell pathogens as well.
Mm.
So the color of the water alone does not give you an indication. But we as human beings, obviously, if we see dirty water, we don't want to drink it because we believe that it's not palatable. And that is a good thing to go by, because that means whatever has happened upstream has ensured that there is sand in the water which could have contaminants associated with it. So yes, it could be an indication that the water is not safe, but not necessarily.
Interesting, very interesting point there, Aisha. And, one doesn't even think about something along those lines, because as soon as you say, someone sees brown water, they think definitely unsafe. But let me thank you both for your time. And let's continue then to monitor this particular situation. And I do appreciate your time this afternoon. That was Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, founder of The Gift of the Givers, as well as AHL Water Director Aisha Laher.